Celebrating 50 years of environmental struggles and victories with social movements around the world. You are listening to the Friends of the Earth International 50th Anniversary Show.
Welcome to this special show from Real World Radio and Friends of the Earth International. My name is José Elosegui and it is a pleasure to be with you. But I'm not alone. I'm joined by Amelia Collins. How are you, Amelia?
Good morning, José. I'm very well, thank you. And it's a pleasure to host this show with you today, especially because we have some exciting guests.
That's right, Amelia. Let's welcome them now. Friends of the Earth International is 50 years old this year, so we wanted to take a look at the history of the world's largest grassroots environmental organization, now present in 73 countries.
Exactly, José. But let's delve into the past for a minute. Friends of the Earth International was founded in 1971 by four organizations from France, Sweden, England, and the USA. In 1981, a small international secretariat was set up, initially staffed by volunteers, which rotated from country to country. By 1983, the organization had grown to 25 members, and an executive committee was elected to oversee the federation. And in 1986, the annual general meeting was hosted for the first time by an organization from the South, Sahabat Alam Malaysia, Friends of the Earth Malaysia.
These are just some of the important starting dates for Friends of the Earth International. Listeners can find out more on our website, www.foe.org. But here today, we want to share an analysis why and how Friends of the Earth International came into being, its characteristics as a federation, its emergence and development over the years, in political, strategic and structural terms, and in relation to the external world. The objective is to understand how the federation came to be what it is today and the part it has to play moving forwards.
Yes, José, and it is with these goals in mind that we have with us here today none other than all the former chairs of Friends of the Earth International, including Edwin Matthews, one of the early directors of Friends of the Earth in the United States, which was started in 1968-69, and was instrumental in the founding of Les Amis de la Terre in France in 1970, Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland in 1971, and Friends of the Earth International. Welcome, Edwin.
I'm very excited to be here. Happy birthday to you all. And I look forward to sharing with you some of the history of how you were born.
Thank you, Edwin. Let's now meet the former chairs. First, Ricardo Navarro from SESTA, Friends of the Earth El Salvador, chair of Friends of the Earth International from 1999 to 2004. Welcome, Ricardo.
Thank you. Well, it's really great to be here. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Ricardo. Now it's the turn of Mina Rahman from Sahabat Alam Malaysia, Friends of the Earth Malaysia, chair of Friends of the Earth International from 2004 to 2008. Welcome, Mina.
Selamat Hari Jadi. That's happy birthday in the Malay language. I'm coming from Penang, Malaysia. Very happy to join this distinguished group of chair, former chairs and present chair. Emanta from our part of the world in Asia. So I'm very happy to be here. And I think this is going to be a very interesting reflection of what a fantastic organization Friends of the Earth International is. And it's amazing that we have gone through 50 years. It's quite amazing. So very happy to be here.
Thank you, Mina. Now it's time to welcome Nima Bassi, chair of Friends of the Earth International from 2008 to 2012. How are you, Nemo? It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's such a big pleasure to be a part of this 50 years celebration. It's an amazing milestone for a great network. I'm very happy to be here. Hello, everyone.
Thank you very much, Nemo. The next chair of Friends of the Earth International from 2012 to 2016 was Jagoda Munich, who today is the director of Friends of the Earth Europe. Welcome, Jagoda.
Thank you for inviting me. Greetings to everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. I just want to mention that indeed Since 2017, I'm positioned on director of Friends of the Europe, but at the time of when I was chairperson, for many years with Friends of the Croatia, Zelena Akcija, which is one of our great groups, out of many great groups that celebrate birthday today.
Great, Jagoda, thank you. It's time to welcome the most recent chair of Friends of the Earth International, who has just finished her term of office from 2016 to 2021, Karin Nansen from Redis, Friends of the Earth Uruguay. Thank you for joining us, Karin.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here with my friends and comrades from the Federation to celebrate 50 years of amazing history, challenging times, but also many victories, and most of all, being together, building this amazing federation and changing the world.
Thank you very much, Karin. And finally, we need to introduce the current chair of Friends of the Earth International. That is Himanta Witanage from the Center for Environmental Justice, Friends of the Earth Sri Lanka, who took on the role in July. Welcome, Himanta.
Ayubuan, so which means more life in my local language. So happy birthday to Friends of the Earth International. I'm very happy to be here with six former chairs, including the founding chair. So thank you, Amelia and Jose, for hosting us today.
Thank you, Hamantha. Welcome to you all. We plan to do this show in two parts as two podcasts. For this first one, we would like to discuss the following three questions. What are the key moments in Friends of the Earth International's history? How have Friends of the Earth International's vision and mission changed over the years? And how has environmentalism itself and the role of Friends of the Earth International in the movement been viewed and changed over the years?
With these three questions on the table, we'd like to open the discussion up to you all. To start us off, Edwin, would you please share your experience of how, in 1971, Friends of the Earth International was born? Thank you, Edwin.
I'm a bit delighted. I should begin a couple of years earlier because I wanted to, and I think back on it, you know, we all have ideas from time to time, and some are good and some are bad. I had a very good idea, which was to take Friends of the Earth, which had been founded in the United States by David Brower, and make it global, to transpose the idea and the name to every country. Because obviously our environmental challenges were not limited by national boundaries. And with that, I then proceeded to start Friends of the Earth in France with many others, and then Friends of the Earth in the UK with many others, and Friends of the Earth in Sweden with others. And all the story of each one of these beginnings is a whole conversation in itself. But in 1971, I began to think about how we could knit all of these independent groups together. They all had the same name, which was conceived of by David Brower's wife, Ann Brower. But how do they relate to each other? And how can we coordinate? At the time, I was a lawyer in Paris, and I searched for precedents. And I felt strongly that it was important that the independence and diversity of the various national groups be maintained, and that the energy of grassroots organization and activism be kept. So I wasn't interested in an overall governing body, but rather a sort of partnership. And actually, I looked for precedents, and the one I found closest to us was the Red Cross. And I proceeded to draft the first bylaws of Friends of the Earth International as an association or a partnership of independent groups, independent organizations, each speaking its own language, each translating the environmental movement and our concerns into terms that resonated with their own culture. I felt strongly that it was not certainly up to the United States to tell everybody how to do it, or to tell everybody what environmentalism meant in other countries. It's up to each one of us with our own culture, our own biases, our own dreams and hopes to translate what being careful with the earth means. And that actually has developed beautifully within Friends of the Earth International, because each group sees the environmental challenges in a different way, and the diversity is quite exciting. So I drafted the bylaws of the organization to begin with, and it included France, the UK, Sweden, and the United States. I think we had our first meeting in Paris in 1971, and I remember it because we did spend, I have a photo of the meeting, met for several days and ended up on the long walk in the forest of Rambouillet with, of course, a French lunch in an auberge in the forest. It was a great moment. And we proceeded to have other meetings in Sweden and London and elsewhere. And that's basically how it began. And the important thing, I think, is that the independence of the groups and the sense that they're all cooperating towards a common end has been maintained. And I'm happy about that. I have a lot else to say, but maybe that gives you a quick picture of how this began. It began just with an idea that how are we going to knit this all together? And I remember writing the bylaws to start off with, and in my office in Paris. So I would urge you all, and urge everyone on this planet, you all have ideas. All of us as human beings have ideas. Some are good, some are bad. But the important thing is to take your idea and do something with it. And I think that, if anything, has been what Friends of the Earth has been about. It's not just about talking, it's about doing.
Well, it's really amazing, you know, something that started in four countries. Now we have 73 countries, and we have become the largest organization in the planet. You know, the organization that deals with grassroots environmental movements, And one of the important things to realize is that when you have a good idea, they develop, you know. Now we are about some 2.5 million people that we deal with in the different countries. One of the wonderful aspects is that we keep the diversity. That is extremely important. Of course, we all work toward developing conditions toward a sustainable world, you know, environmentally, socially, politically. But we are diverse. And that is very important, because it's not an idea that is developed in one country and somebody wants everybody to follow that idea, you know, in the same way. That is really valuable. So we have to thank you, Edwin, for all the effort. It's incredible that you started that 50 years ago. You know, that's half a century. I mean, that's really great.
But, you know, it's also not very long, because the world is moving faster and faster, and not in all good ways at all. But Friends of the Earth is a hopeful avenue that I think has great promise for the future. I'm rather deeply disturbed about what's happening to our civilization and to life on the planet. And I think over the last 50 years, we have developed some very serious problems that threaten our very existence. And if we don't attack those together, each country in its own way, there is not hope. So in a sense, Friends of the Earth provides a hope, and we need that now more than ever.
Friends of the Earth International is the world's largest grassroots environmental federation, with member groups in 73 countries.
Thank you, Edwin. Mina, I would like to ask you to continue. I'm probably asking you, Mina, how do you see that has changed over environmentalism through the years and the development of Friends of the Earth International in that sense?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to Edwin and also Ricardo for capturing a bit of that history and the evolution and the importance of Friends of the Earth International and the diversity and the connection with the grassroots. I represent Friends of the Earth Malaysia. Sahabat Alam Malaysia is a literal translation of the Friends of the Earth International in from English to Malay. And in fact, as Amelia had described, we were the first to host at the Friends of the Earth International meeting in the developing world and to connect to really making, you know, this organization an organization which is connected with grassroots communities. And at that time, many of us were involved in the forest struggles, in the rainforest movement, and so on, and fighting for indigenous people's rights and so on and so forth. But so that was a very important watershed for us in Friends of the Earth Malaysia and the connection to Friends of the Earth International, which actually helped much of our local struggles. And I think that's the beauty of this organization, this federation, the connection from the grassroots. So it's not about, you know, typical conservation groups, but it was more, much more about really supporting the frontline struggles of local communities and indigenous peoples and farmers and peasants and fisher folk and so on. Still going on, still very vibrant. But maybe at this stage, I would just like to reflect on the fact that, you know, the vision and the mission. I mean, we assume that the vision and the mission was easy for this federation. Believe you me, it was not easy at all. And so perhaps that's the next part of the story I'd like to share during the time that I entered Friends of the Earth International. Actually, I became active at the Beatenberg meeting. And for the first time, I was sitting around this table, and it's like a mini United Nations. And that for those of us who have taken part in the Friends of the Earth annual general meetings of then or the biennial general meetings, it's quite amazing. And you know, you have flags and countries and the people sitting around the table and with rules and, you know, procedures. It was really like a mini United Nations. It was quite overwhelming for a very new person. But it was around that time that we found that we did not have a clear vision. We did not have a clear mission. We all saw things from our own context and our own, you know, circumstances. But just to very quickly say that the vision and the mission of Friends of the Earth International, which is there, was actually born out of a huge process. It was really something that we cannot take ourselves for granted, because at the time that I was getting involved in the Federation, it was quite clear that there was what I would term as a paradigm fight, actually, in terms of a North-South clash. There was, I recall, particularly our brothers and sisters from the Latin American region challenging the Federation in terms of our, you know, much more about the paradigm, the ideology, the context of our fights, and, you know, challenging capitalism and neoliberalism and so on and so forth. And we could have either broken apart into smithereens, or we could have regrouped. And I think we managed a huge process, which was actually from that big clash. And that was a very important lesson. From clashes come, you know, other mushrooming and evolution of changes. And I was happy and had the honor and pleasure of actually steering the Federation during that time, because I was involved also in the network process to solve the problem, so to speak. I know, you remember, Ricardo, you remember, we were on an island of, was it Colombia? Where, yeah, there was this big fight with I was not on the board, but I was in the committee. Big fight among a few of you. It was all men. There was no women. And that was the other criticism that we had. Karen was on the board, but at that time, very few women there. So it was quite, what you call it, difficult moment. Very, very difficult, because we were emotional. Of course, we all are very emotional people, very passionate people. But the network process, which actually led us to a consultation from member groups bottom up. And so every word that you see in the vision and the mission was fought from every region. It was a participatory process. It was a struggle. And we never took any word for granted. It was an amazing journey that we brought the Federation together in a very clear vision and mission and strategic plan. and which continues to guide the Federation today. And those conflicts have, in a way, gone, and we are evolving. We have evolved into a much better Federation. I'll stop here, but of course, you know, there are more people want to learn more stories. You can continue to goad us. But I thought that during that time, that was the 2004-2008 term, I was very much part of that process of ensuring that the Federation became much more stronger than it is. And happy to have handed over to the next chairs to steer the Federation through what it is now.
Celebrating 50 years of environmental struggles and victories with social movements around the world, you are listening to the Friends of the Earth International 50th Anniversary Show.
Thank you so much, Mina. I must say that you did a great job, and we're just lucky to have you chair the Federation at that time. It was indeed a very difficult process. I remember sitting in some of those meetings, especially the one in Penang. You sit in the fishbowl and we sit all in circles, and you go in there, you jump out, go back. Sometimes you would have a headache just sitting down to debate over what was eventually accepted as the vision and mission of the Federation. But that was fantastic. Today, when I look back and I look at the three key words that captures all that we do, mobilize, resist, transform, I just can't imagine how much struggle it was to come up to that, to arrive at that. It was a lot of collaboration, a lot of difficulties. And because this was so clearly set out, the time I was chair was more or less to see how this was being implemented, but it still was not very smooth because there were pockets of, I wouldn't like to say resistance, pockets of clarification still to be made, and some people did not quite fully understand what the impact would be to be resisting and all that. It was also beautiful. It really shows the bottom-up approach to building the vision, the mission, and organizing generally underscore the fact that we are a grassroots federation. The grassroots nature thrives in diversity. The health of this, without a healthy soil, you can't have healthy biodiversity. And so the grassroots and the base of the Federation is so vital. And I believe this is what is still keeping the vitality of the Federation, the diversity and the differences and the commonalities. These are the things that has helped the Federation to remain strong, to remain inclusive, and to be the Federation that every group would like to be a part of. Unfortunately or fortunately, we don't have multiple groups within nations, but that being the case, we still have the big network of other groups within nations that we collaborate with and work with. And so over the years, just seeing the way this vision and mission has powered the work, I began as chair in Honduras, and that was very interesting for me. I ended up in El Salvador. South America and Latin America has always been in my blood. I would like to relocate, to live there if I have to relocate somewhere else. But what really struck me was the clear acts and move that the Federation did in very key moments, especially in global activities like the COP in Copenhagen, which is another story that we'll talk about, the movement, the People's Summit in Cochabamba in 2010, that was another very vital moment that we saw the key role that Friends of the Earth International played in the movement that eventually came up with the draft declaration of the rights of Mother Earth and the principles for that we could actually use even now to fight for climate justice and to protect Mother Earth. In other words, also directly protecting ourselves. And so today, when I look at the programs of the Federation and how they are growing, all I can say is more energy to the activists, more energy to people, and more strength to our people. We work in knowing that at the end, we're going to achieve the clear picture and vision that we have as a Federation. So having this strong guidepost over the years has really, really been very helpful in aligning us in the right pathways in the existential struggles that we are confronted right now, whether it be climate change, economic injustices, neocolonialism, and all the attacks on human rights defenders and the gender disparities. Fighting all this have been possible because we have a clear path we're going. I want to thank all those who laid the plan for this to happen. Thanks to Edwin, to Ricardo, to Mina, and those who have carried up the job, Yagoda, Karen, and now Himanta. I send you strength as you step into the battlefield, so to speak. So I'll hand over to Yagoda at this moment.
Celebrating 50 years of environmental struggles and victories with social movements around the world, you are listening to the Friends of the Earth International 50th Anniversary Show.
Indeed, I would say what's happened during Mina's time, and Mina, thank you very much for guiding us and leading us through that very rough sea as a very good captain of the ship. This is still valid. These documents that we adopted, you know, we are using them now until this day. So it shows the quality of it, and it shows how they are still relevant, maybe even more than ever. So in my time after Nemo, obviously it was not easy to step in the shoes of my predecessors, but the time that it came after this economic crisis in 2008, so there were more and more people talking about economic system and us included, so after mission, vision and designing of ways of working, campaigning, we had huge debate about social economic system in 2012, and then follow up about the discussion how we actually measure system change, how we actually can implement our vision of the world, which is completely different than what we see today. It's based on social and mental justice and economic justice too. So this was debate in 2012, 13 and 14. And in 2014 at VGM in Sri Lanka, we adopted system change guidance. I would say this is still also valid and used today, and it's great to see how it's integrated in our work on national level, regional and international level, but also I would like to see maybe next year's further development of that. So this is one of the key, I would say, moments that I would share. The second thing that I would like to share is that we also try to have more political kind of convergence. So diversity is very important. We have different circumstances across the globe. Groups are bigger or smaller, but it's really important, this political kind of coordination and that we are going and contribute to the same goals. So this is the second thing. I think we got much better. And during my time, there was some kind of quite extraordinary or quite heavy solidarity mission. So I would say that we also improved on how we work on solidarity, all discussion about how we should focus maybe on more strategic long-term solidarity support in some countries came there. In 2016, there was a murder of Berta Cáceres, so we had mission to Honduras. In 2013, we had mission to Palestine, where we met also with Palestinian activists, and we discussed how we can actually support them better. So I think these are the bases that I see now being even more implemented even better. And I'm glad that in a way, all that hard work that we have done in those years enabled us maybe to survive until today and even adjust to the extraordinary circumstances of pandemic that happened under Karin's nonsense chairpersonship. So I will pass to Karina the baton.
You are listening to the chairs of Friends of the Earth International discussing 50 years of this environmental organization, always on Real World Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Yagoda and friends. I think it's wonderful to be able to reflect back of how our history has evolved throughout the years, and really how this was a very collective process, participatory and collective process. And even though we faced many crises and challenges throughout our history, I think that we grew stronger because we came together. And as my friends were saying, we came together realizing the importance of unity, the importance of the collective character of our doing, of our campaigning work, of our programs work, of our solidarity work. And I think that is why we were able to transit from this more conservationist perspective or an environmental perspective that was more northern-oriented at the beginning of Friends of the Earth International history, which was still positive. I'm not criticizing the origins, because of course the origin has to do with those who were involved and had the great idea of coming together. But then as we got more and more member groups from the South, we developed this environmental justice dimension, the political and social ecological dimension of our struggle. And then our justice dimension became so strong, which is at the core of everything we do nowadays in FOI. We realize, for example, the need to recognize the historical ecological debt the North owed to the South. And this is very key, for example, in the climate debate. And we also realize the need to abandon neoliberalism, to confront neoliberalism, if we wanted to address the environmental problems, the environmental crisis. And this is very evident today in the context of the pandemic, how neoliberalism really threatened our lives and our rights. We fought against the privatization of water, for example. We also fought very strongly against the imposition of the market logic in the environmental policy. We fought against the power of transnational corporations. We decided that transnational corporations were a key actor and we needed to confront their power, not just specific projects led by transnational corporations, which were very detrimental. We continued to campaign against specific projects, but we also got more to the core of how that power is expressed and how that power is stopping any progress in terms of climate policy, in terms of biodiversity policies, in terms of food policies, etc. So we saw more clearly throughout the years, after all these crises we had, the systemic character of the crisis, of the social environmental crises, social ecological crisis. It's a systemic crisis, and thus it demands a system change agenda, like my friends were talking about. And I think something to highlight from that is that the relationship with the grassroots, as it was referred to, was very, very important to inform the change in policies and the strengthening of our politics and coming together, but also the relationship with other social movements internationally. When we started to get together, for example, with Via Campesina in the late 90s and with World March of Women in the early 2000s, when we were becoming strategic allies with these movements, has been key for our the development of our ideas, positions, narratives, but also for our own practices. This stronger justice perspective, I think, is very much informed by these alliances with other movements, other social movements, also with the workers and labor movement. The same for the principles that we have developed, the principles of people's sovereignty, including food sovereignty, the principles of climate justice, the need to dismantle patriarchy, the need to dismantle the sexual division of labor, was very, very much informed also by these alliances. And very, very importantly, the need to dismantle all the systems of oppression. We cannot lead our environmental struggle. We cannot change the system. We cannot change the world if we don't fight against racism, if we don't fight against patriarchy, class oppression, if we don't fight against heteronormativity, but also colonialism, and so on, and capitalism as well. So this is how our history has developed, in coming together, having many, many discussions, as it was explained before, and realizing this systemic character of the crisis and our responsibility as a grassroots-based organization to really tackle the environmental crisis from a social perspective, from a feminist perspective, from a class perspective. This was something that came very strongly in our 2018 AGM in Nigeria. They need to understand better the class issues that permeate and are cross-cutting to all the environmental struggles we are leading. So I think now the realization that we also need to organize more to build people's power is part of this journey that we have gone together, and how we have been able to build this solidarity internationally. And we can talk later on a bit more about this international solidarity and what it means to us.
Friends of the Earth International is the world's largest grassroots environmental federation, with member groups in 73 countries.
Thank you, Karen. I think we have already come across the planetary limits, and the biodiversity destruction is already happened. Climate change has already become a serious catastrophe, and there are many climate refugees are emanating in various places. And we see that environmental justice is a mere talk, but still people are fighting on the equity, and there are so many people below the poverty line, especially in the developing countries. And this pandemic has already brought us so many different crises into the surface again. So Federation is a sort of a environmental justice movement, and a process that all the actors come from different countries, develop collective identities and capable of jointly defining the justice and mobilizing across borders, is a very, very important process even today. So FOE has this federal structure, which is very distinct from many other conservation organizations. I think that is one of the reasons that we were able to bring different small and the big large groups from different countries in these 73 countries. For example, the countries like Germany, UK and US, even in Netherlands, they have the very, very big environmental justice groups joining this network. From Asia, I can see Friends of the Earth, Indonesia, like WALI, which is a very big organization. It's a coalition of more than 400 organizations, Korean Federation of Environmental Movement, KFEM, which is Friends of the Earth Korea, is a huge group in Australia. And at the same time, there are smaller groups also fighting on the same front together because of this structure we have in place over the years. I see that when it comes to the battlegrounds, wherever possible to mobilize the groups, that's our battlegrounds. So we have used these kind of moments in Johannesburg in 2002 during the World Summit on Sustainable Development. And we have some of us joined this huge rally, which almost like walking 9 hours, starting from a small community. And that is where some of those differences also arise between the northern groups and the southern groups. In 2012, we joined the movements in Brazil to rally against the UN bodies and how they're utilizing that space for the corporate capture, and also the big rich countries are dominating their decisions, dominating all these decisions without giving enough space to smaller countries. And 2015, Copenhagen, I remember in Copenhagen when the Friends of the Earth youth group, so when they dropped a small banner and we all were banned, so then we saw that all 90 people from the Friends of the Earth group were sitting and demonstrating. So that's the sort of a battle. So we have been done in 2019. We have joined the climate campaign in Madrid, and there are many other occasions that we come together with like-minded groups and the local communities, indigenous communities, and all sort of all men and women groups to fight against these injustices and fight for justice. But still, I think the importance of platform like the Friends of the Earth International is a very important forum that we can bring various big groups. I'm from Sri Lanka, and in our region, India is a huge democratic nation where there are a lot of diversity is there. But during the last year, biannual general meeting, we were even able to bring a huge group from India to join the Friends of the Earth International. We are still looking for other countries in Central Asia, in the Mekong countries, in other African and Latin American countries to bring more and more member groups to join the federation. And the battle you started about 50 years ago, we are still continuing, and we are building this federation, bringing more and more like-minded groups now.
Thank you, Hemantha. Wow, what a journey. So this is the end, sadly, of the first show by Real World Radio and Friends of the Earth International, exploring the twists and turns of the history of this environmental organization to celebrate its 50th anniversary.
We thank Edwin Matthews, the former chairs of Friends of the Earth International, Ricardo Navarro, Mina Raman, Nimo Bassi, Iago da Munich, Karin Nansen, and the current chair, Hemantha Witanage. Thank you very much to all of you. We look forward to meeting you again in the second podcast.
Celebrating 50 years of environmental struggles and victories with social movements around the world. Friends of the Earth International 50th Anniversary Show.